In the name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of the Great Fast, the Sunday which is known as the Sunday of the Samaritan Woman. And today it is another example of a person whom God sought after and found her back and get her back to the flock. And we find something which is for all of us to learn from, that this woman, when she had this transforming experience, immediately she went out and started to preach to her people. And she went to the people in Samaria and said to them, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And this woman at the beginning, actually, she was very shy to meet with anyone. That's why she came to the well of Jacob to get the water at the time of the noon time, which is a very hot time, which is not a usual time for anyone to come and try to get the water out. But she was under this burden of sense of guilt because of her sins and life of iniquity that she used to have. But after she was converted, she came to know the truth, she acquired boldness by which she went and preached it to her people. And this is something for all of us to learn today, that we are all called for the same as well. To be Christians, to be believers, doesn't mean that this is something we keep inside. Only we keep it inside our hearts, and we keep it with our families, and that's it. And we don't have any sense of responsibility towards the people around us. The question is for all of us today, that we will try to answer from the scripture. Is every believer called to serve? Something we have to know and to understand very well. The answer is definitely yes. Everyone whom God spoke in his heart, that he says that I knew God, he has to serve God. We are all shaped in order to serve him. One of the purposes of our lives here on earth is to witness to him. So what is the evidence? Let us see and review that. What is the scripture is teaching us about this. The first evidence is what God made us to be. After we were baptized, we became members in one body. We cannot think of ourselves being members in the same body, and meanwhile we can think that we can live as individuals, have nothing to do with each other. It cannot go this way. If I understand this, if I know that I am a member in a body, then I have a function, I have a role, and this role will end up into the welfare of this body. Hear what St. Paul says to the people of Corinth. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. One of the blessings that we acquire after baptism is that we are planted as one body, as individuals in one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. How can we think that a person can live by himself? A hand would say that I will be taking care of myself, I will nourish myself, and I will take care of nobody except my own welfare. It cannot go this way. If we believe that we are members in one body, then we have to think and we understand and we live up to this calling that we should be living in order that's for this one body to prosper. The second evidence is the calling that the Lord called us to be. The Lord called us to be what? To be salt of the earth. He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned?" What is the meaning of this? The salt per se is a very cheap material. This may be one of the cheapest. If you go to the store, one of the cheapest things that you can acquire is salt. But the function of the salt that gives it its value. If the salt stays by itself, not functioning on the shelf, it has no price whatsoever. It's a very cheap thing. But all of its value comes when this salt is functioning, is giving taste to the food. This is exactly how we are called as Christians. If we choose to live as salt on the shelf, then we have no price. But if we, up to the calling, we live to give taste to the world, then this is what God wants us to be. The second calling for all of us as well to be the light. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. God lit this lamp. All of us are called to be lamps to the world, light to the world. This lamp that God lit, it cannot be hidden under a basket. We cannot choose to go and hide ourselves under a basket, and we claim that it's up to like us to live as lamps within our comfort zone. It cannot be like this. The light has to go to disperse the darkness. Otherwise, this lamp is hidden under a basket, something which it does not fit the function of this lamp. So the first evidence that we have to persuade us today that we are called to serve God, it's not only the people who are serving in the church or Sunday school teachers, for all of us today, that first of all, we are members in one body. Secondly, we are called to be salt and light. Number three evidence, the diversities of the gifts. If you ever met two identical twins, they are born in the same house, they have the same physical appearance, and they are raised by the same parents, they go to the same school, you will find them different. They have acquired different talents and gifts, and they can do different things. What does this mean? God knew that every one of us is unique, and that's why every one of us has a function that no one else can substitute him at. Here's St. Paul saying to us, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministers, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. We are all have, each one of us has his own gift. All of us are like pieces of puzzle. If one piece is missing, even one small piece, we will feel there is something in the picture which is incomplete. Always think of yourself this way. Nothing could be done by another person that can substitute you. We have always to understand that each one of us has his own role, has his own gifts, and by these gifts we should serve the Lord. Another evidence is given to us in the parable of the talents. We hear in this parable that the Lord gave talents, the master gave talents to his people. To one gave five, another one gave two, and for a third person gave one. And we hear that the one who had the one talent, what did he do with it? He hid the talent. How the Lord of this man received him? What did he say to him? The man said to the Lord, I hid your talent so I wouldn't waste it. So he didn't waste it. He just brought it back to his master as is. The Lord described him as being what? He said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Wicked and lazy. This is how the Lord is going to receive those whom they receive talents and they hid it. They think that it is up to us. We just keep it for ourselves. This is not the purpose why God gave us these talents. And you see in this parable that everyone was given a talent. No one can claim that I was given nothing. I have no talent whatsoever. This is not right and is not fair for the one who created us and gave us all of the blessings and all of the talents that we have. From this talent, we know that each one was given a talent. Each one is required to trade with this talent, to gain with it. And if we do not do, then we will be in bad shape, actually, in the day of judgment. This will be very, very harsh saying to be said to those people who did not trade with the talents, wicked and lazy servants. The last evidence that we are going to bring today is the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan. We hear at the beginning of this parable that, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. And he asked him, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord gave him the parable of the Good Samaritan, and he instructed him at the end, saying, go and do likewise. We notice here from the setup of the parable that the one who asked it, he was not a disciple. He was a lawyer, person, a lay person. And he asked it about eternal life, not what can I do in order to be a good disciple, in order to minister, just to inherit eternal life. And the Lord gave him the parable of the Good Samaritan, asking him to go and serve others as this good man did. So here, this for all of us today. As far as we claim that we knew God, then we have to serve Him. We have to minister to Him. By which way? Let me give you something that we all have in common. Two main things. Remember them, because it is for all of us to live up to this. Number one is to give the example. You know, at the time of the church fathers, they were speaking about the fifth gospel. What is this fifth gospel? We know all the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The fifth gospel is the gospel of the example. Giving example, being a living example to how Christians should live. If we just go and live like others, we do like them, as the people who are immersed in the lusts of the world, how the people will come to know the truth? If we do not shine as light, if we do not give the image of Christ to people, then how the people will come to know Him? We are all called, wherever we are, in wherever place, to live up to the calling, to be examples wherever we are. We are not going to teach the people lessons and bring them, say, come here, I will teach you how to live as Christians. We are requested ourselves to live as believers and Christians. Give example in love, in caring about everyone, in serving everyone everywhere, and not discriminating against people for any reason, in even stretching our hands to those people who hate us and persecute us. This is what we are all called to give example at. Secondly, to witness to the truth. What is the meaning of this? We all, in our workplace, maybe someone will come and ask you, are you fasting? And then we might think twice. We might shy away saying, if I say I'm fasting, they will call me that I'm a Muslim. What kind of thoughts are these? If we as Christians cannot witness to the truth, who will witness then? If we shy away from declaring the word of truth, who will declare it to the people? If one come to you and ask you, what do you think about homosexuality? You cannot accept it to call it as the Bible says. It is called abomination. That's it. We do not call it this way. This is what God says about it. The worst thing that Christians can do in this current age is to play the politically correct thing. Is try to be work it out in order to not to offend the people. It is not what we are called to. We are called to witness to the truth, and the truth is what God defines things as. It is not up to us to give it another name, or to make it easy, or to find a good name for it. This is what in the Bible. If someone come and ask you, do you really believe that this Bible is authentic, this is the word of God? The answer should be yes. I live up to it, and I believe every word in it. We should not shy away from witnessing to the truth. If the children of God today, they shy away from witnessing to the truth, who else will carry on this responsibility? If the people that they know and they claim they know God, they feel this will offend the people. Let me be safe. I don't want to get any person to look at me and say that this person is fanatic. You are not going to tell the people, come here, let me give you a lesson. We are not also to discriminate against anyone. We will love every person, even the people who are sinners, even the people who are living in whatever kind of life. At the end of the day, this is the example. But you have to call things as is. Living between a man and a woman, away from marriage, it's called the fornication. It doesn't have any other name. We should be bold in declaring this. Think about this. We are called for these two examples. For all of us, regardless of the talent that you might have got from God, we are called to live with the example in loving everyone, in caring, in serving, in every good deed, and secondly, to the witness to the truth. Today, the lesson for all of us is to learn from the Samaritan woman that after she believed, after she came to know the truth, immediately she went to her people saying to them, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. It is for all of us to go outside and to call everyone, come and see this man who came to redeem all of us and to buy us and purchase us with his blood. The calling for all of us, my brethren, is to live up to this, because we are called to serve God. We cannot hide our talents, because God will ask us about it in the end of age. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.